This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I want to welcome you this morning in Shofar, Somerset West, and I hope you're going to enjoy the service here this morning. And I just said to Flo, I'll mention his name. He's sitting in the toddler area that he must listen. En sommer vir Nico en Helene, dat sê jy swaar, my ou vriende van my, dis lekker om julle ook hier te hê. So, I just want to start by saying thank you, God, for the rain that we had this week. Wasn't it amazing? Hallelujah. Now, on Tuesday morning, when it was raining, I got up to take the sail off my pool because the water and in that time, I just heard God saying to me, as it came, the water came out of nothing, so I can do a miracle in any of your lives. And then he reminded me of something that happened in our lives. We were living in next to that Bologna Street house. I think I pronounced that street correctly. But if you drive in Andries Pretoria Street, there's a house on the right-hand side that's been totally demolished. And my cell group at that time was, Dirk, Jan and Renee and Jan and Elsabie and Franz and Elsie, and we all went to go and pray in that house that's being demolished, and we proclaimed and we prophesied, but it didn't happen the way we thought, but this house was being broken down, but the people started climbing over the wall, and my youngest boy was just born. My wife was freaking out because she was afraid someone might break into our house and do something to us. Because it's all these drug addicts and people that really looked very wild. And a few incidents happened, and we were praying. I just got into ministry as well. So there was no ways out for us to get a house. And my wife wanted me to sell the house, that house, and just to go and rent. She just wanted to get out of there. And I just felt, if I do that, we're going to lose all the money that we invested into this bond, and we're going to be put backwards. And just out of nothing, I didn't even see it coming, the door came open for us, and suddenly we were living in this house that we had. Yes, it had many other challenges, but out of nothing, it started raining. And I just believe out of nothing, God can do something amazing. Because, you know, for us, yes, we can clap to God for that, but, you know, when we don't know rain, like this boy in Namakwaland, he's 7 years old, and they stop. En dit begin reën, en hy hardloop, hy huil. Hy sê, mama, mama, en hy, hoekom huil jy? Sê, die Here het die kraan oopgelos, en hy mors water. You know, if you don't understand rain, God left the tap open, and he's wasting water. If you don't understand the goodness of God, when you see it, you might think God is wasting water, he's wasting it on me. You know, and for us here in the Western Cape, we've always been blessed with water. And then for the last couple of years or 2 years, we've struggled because our plants are dying, the grass is dying. You hear 95 days left of water and you think, what's going to happen to us? Are we going to die? You are getting worried and you're feeling the pressure of the civilization around us. And you're thinking, what is going to happen to us? And out of nothing, it starts raining. And I got so excited when I saw that. I don't want to give my age away, but I was in the army as well, and you walk, and you have days that you have to walk with 4 liters of water, and then you come to a time where there's no more water, and you're so thirsty, and then there's a water tanker that they've got a truck, and they pull this thing to where we are. But when you come to the water, it's boiling hot water, and all you have to drink is boiling hot water, because it's been standing in the Kalahari sun the whole day. So you drink hot water, but that's all that you have. And you're thankful and grateful for that bit of water that you can drink. But water, when it's scarce and there's no water, we don't understand what a blessing it is to have water. I met a guy from Namibia, Suidwes, die syde van Suidwes, en hy het gesê, waar ek vandaan kom, is het so droog, ek het op 'n klam waslapie leer swem. I learned to swim on a wet cloth. That's how dry it is. He also said, it's so hot there between us and the, I'll just have to repeat in Afrikaans. He said, but for ons place, it's so warm, there's net a stick draad tussen ons in die hel. So that's the Namibia, but it doesn't rain often in those places. But when it rains, then it rains. And I'm just, Thursday night, we heard the thunder, and I'm awake, and the alarm went off twice. The security guards came once. I didn't sleep at all Thursday, but 4 o'clock I was going to get the sail again off, and I'm wet, and I'm just saying, thank you, God. And the thunder comes, and it's the lightning comes, and my wife said to me, "The Here praat vandaan," and I just knew, God is speaking. He's the God of the impossible. God makes the impossible. He makes it possible. And Tian, he's been on my case for 3 years to listen to this guy, but I'm listening to this guy, and he said, you know, we go to university to specialize in areas. But no one goes to specialize in the impossible. But our God specializes in the impossible. And I believe this is what God is saying. Out of nothing, He does the impossible. So what I'm wanting to share with you is in the cry of rescue came to God in Genesis 15. And I'm reading, every year I read through the Bible a few times, and when I was in Genesis, I came to the scripture that the Lord said to Abram, "Know for certain that your offsprings will be sojourners in the land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But when I bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterwards afterwards, they shall come out with great possession." God spoke these words to Abram 600 years before, 630 years probably, before he instructed Moses to take the people out of Egypt. So 600 years in advance, God already had spoken to Abram that his children, his offsprings, will live in a land that is not theirs. There will be great affliction on them, but God will come and He will lead them out of that land with great possession. And this is what I'm just realizing, that God is absolutely in everything in control. God is in control. And the more I'm serving God, the more I'm realizing that the devil plays a very small part. And God plays a massive part in our lives. And that our focus should never be on what the devil is doing, but always on what God is doing. Because our God is the God of the impossible. And I believe what sometimes hinders us from walking in the fullness is faith. And faith is that relationship with God. And not necessarily what the enemy or people is doing against me, but it's having a relationship, is having walking in faith with God. But also just God's purposes. Even if we are faithless, He remains faithful because He cannot deny Himself, because God is a good God. So in this time, God had... you know the story, Abram, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. The one son, Joseph, was sold as a slave into Egypt. He was brought up. He became next to Pharaoh, the highest ranking person in Egypt. And he did a wonderful thing for Egypt. And then it says here in Exodus 1 verse 8, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. This king did not know what Joseph had done in the past. He didn't know the blessing that Joseph was to his people. There was a new king who had completely new ideas. And this was 400 years after Joseph was in Egypt. And this king, he said to his people, 'Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us, escape from the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses." So what I'm seeing is these people were in a drought season. They were in slavery. And it was dry for them and it was uncomfortable for them. And what I realized, when God is wanting to bring a change in seasons, we sometimes have to go through change. But change is never easy. It's hard. Ask these two. They're having to immigrate to Australia, And we spoke in the gym, and he just said the waiting. He knows it must be done, but now he's got to wait for all these things to go through. And it's uncomfortable because all your things is packed. You don't know where you're going to stay. There's all these uncomfortable things that happen. And I believe sometimes when we are in a season where God wants to move us and where this Israel people were, God had to make it difficult for them because we get so comfortable in the way that we live. So what God does is he makes it uncomfortable for us so that we can go, God, help. Why am I so uncomfortable? But the thing is, when God wants to change, he always wants to bring change because he wants to bring good things for us. So when we go through the change and the heat and the discomfort, we go, oh, why is this happening to me? But the thing is, God is good. And he allows these things to happen because he wants something good to happen in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm preaching to myself here. So there's a new season. Changes are uncomfortable. Then in Exodus 12, Moses, his life is a miracle. He gets born, he's put in this monkey basket. He didn't die. All those crocodiles didn't do anything to him. He got rescued by Pharaoh's daughter. The Pharaoh's daughter asked Moses' mom to look after him. The whole story is just a miracle. It's like these one-liners in Exodus. But God is doing this amazing work, and he gets brought up in Pharaoh's house. God teaches him things in his house. He gets brought up in this house, and then it says in Exodus 12, verse 11, one day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. And he looked this way, and that seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and he hit him in the sand. And then verse 15, he says, and Moses, they heard it. Moses fled from Pharaoh and he stayed in the land of Midian. When Moses had grown up, and I believe there's a time where God allows us to grow up as believers, that we grow up in the purposes that God has for our life. We grow up in everything that he had taught us. When we get saved and we grow and we become more like Jesus and all these things, but then there's a time when we mature. We mature in Christ. And then he says, he saw afflictions. He saw things that was not right. God had given Moses a purpose, a dream to set his people free. And I believe some of us will see things that is wrong and it will stir us so much. We must make a difference in that. Some people will see something, they will believe, this is what God has called me for. I've got to make a difference in that area. Maybe it's where you work. It's maybe to make the best wine that there is. But there's something that God has stirred in our hearts, a dream that he has given each one of us. And I believe all of us, God gives us dreams. And I want to ask you, what is the dream that God has given you and me? What is that dream that God has given us to stir in our heart? The thing that he gives us to see and around us that he had called us to change. Something that God has done to make a difference in our lives. And it can be, it's my children. I've got to look after my children. This is the dream that God has given me now. And this is the season where I'm now. But I believe God opens our eyes to things that are wrong. And he wants that to change. And he's working in us because he wants us to make a difference. But then Moses had to flee into the desert. And for me, that desert is that drought in the Western Cape. It's when everything dies around you. Your hopes, your dreams, the plants, everything that you do, it just feels hopeless. And this is where Moses were for 40 years of his life. He was in this desert, this wasteland where there was nothing. And he married this wife. And her father was a priest of the Midianites. And it says in verse 23, during those days, the king of Egypt died. Okay, I just want to make sure I'm not. During those days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned. And because of their slavery, they cried out for help. their cry for rescue from slavery came up to the Lord. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abram, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. So in this time, in this desert time, in this drought time, in this uncomfortable time, God is allowing things to happen that causes the people to call out upon the name of the Lord. They start calling and they groaning because of, and they cried out for help. Say, God, help me. Here, help, help. Why is this happening to me? And these things, the people are screaming. And it says, their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. And it says that God heard their groaning and God remembered his covenant with Abram, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God has given us a covenant. He's given us a new covenant. He calls it the everlasting covenant, where Jesus, who is God, who was in the beginning with God and who was God, he came from heaven to earth and he died on a cross so that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. And that covenant that he's made with us, it applies to all of us. And we can only accept that covenant by faith. This is the covenant that God has made with us, his people, that whoever calls out his name will be saved. That we can know that because God died for us, we can come before him. The curses he took upon him and he gave us blessing. He became poor so that we can walk in prosperity. He died so that we can live. He was punished so that we can be forgiven. He was crushed so that we can be whole. He was wounded so that we can be healed. God has done that exchange on the cross. And when we call upon his name, he remembers that covenant that he made on the cross when he said, "It is finished. I've done the work already for you." So therefore, when we accept Jesus, we know we have everlasting life. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So when we go through suffering and pain, we say, God, thank you. I know your grace is sufficient for me, but I also know there's hope because God has a future and a hope for my life as I surrender to God and I get transformed by who God is, that I can walk in the fullness of what God wants for all of us. So God, and then verse 25 says, God saw the people of Israel and God knew. He sees our needs. He sees our heart. He sees our dreams. He hears our praise. He knows. God knows every thought that we have. He knows. He knows and he cares about those things. And this is what I really know. God saw that his people was going through a difficult time. And he knew. But God had a plan to do something. And that plan sometimes is uncomfortable for us. But we have to go through it if we want to go into what God's destiny is for us. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There's two things that just stands out to me. He was looking after sheep. So God was even in that preparing him to look after the flock of God. He was preparing him already in his circumstances to do something. His father-in-law was a priest. Moses' whole purpose was to bring in the priestly order of God to the people of Israel. So in his circumstances for 40 years, when he was in this desert, God was preparing him for something amazing that he was going to do through his life. He taught him how to look after sheep, many, and he showed him what priests do. So he understood when God started speaking to him about priests, he already knew because he could relate to his father, Jethro. And in all our circumstances, doesn't matter where you are, what you are going through, these things God is allowing because he's preparing that. He's using that for that what he wants to do in your future life. He's allowing these things, even if it feels, why did I ever work in a till? I don't understand. It is because God wants to give you certain exposure. And I believe that's where we go and we ask God for the ways, the ancient ways, so that we can choose the ways that we must go. God is allowing these things in our lives because it's part of the preparation that He wants to do to take us to that place, to that promised land. And if He wants us to lead, that we can help people to come and to walk into the fullness of what He has called us. And then He came to the Horeb, the mountain of God. And, you know, this is the mountain where God, Moses received the Ten Commandments, the law, where Elijah met with God. This mountain of the Lord is just that place where we come into seeking God. And I believe in all of our lives, there's a place where we have to understand we need to seek God, where we seek Him for ourselves, to come to that mountain of the Lord so that God can reveal these things to us. In verse 2 says, the angel of the Lord. Many theologians and also me, I'm not, believe that the angel of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when it says, we continue, he says he was God, that God was in the beginning. So everywhere you read the angel of the Lord, we believe, I definitely believe it's the Jesus Christ that is appearing to his people here. So the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire, out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And then it says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet. The place on which you are standing is holy ground. You know, for me, he saw this miracle, but he had to respond. When he saw the miracle, he had to respond. And when God saw that he was responding to the miracle, God spoke to him. But it came out of nothing. He didn't go walking in the mountain saying, today I'm going to meet God. He was doing his everyday thing when suddenly he saw this burning bush. And when we see that burning bush, because God's purposes and his plans, God is good, the burning bush is around the corner. We don't know when God is going to be there, that we respond and we go. And out of that responding, God speaks. And when he spoke, Moses could respond and he could take off his shoes because this was holy, his sandals, because this was holy. Holy ground. And you know, for me, when it started raining and the lightning and the thunder came, I just knew God is speaking to us. Out of nothing, I can do something. When it looks impossible, I will do the impossible. When it's impossible, I will do that work because that is who our God is. When that bush is burning, then we can respond to that. We know that our God is good. In Exodus 3 verse 6 says, God says to him, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's the God of family. He's the God of generations. And Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. God says to him, the Lord says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Once again, we can know, God knows, he surely is seeing the affliction that maybe some of us are going through. He is surely seeing those afflictions. And then he says, of my people who are in Egypt. And Egypt, I believe, is also slavery. We are many times slaves to this world. We are being bound by this world, the careers and all the things that we have to do. And I believe God wants to set us free. Maybe it's sin, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's many things. You know, it can be a person. I met someone some time ago, and it's a lady. You would never say it, but she said she came to a point where she drank whiskey like a cowboy out of the bottle, and she would down a bottle at a time. We don't know what people are going through. Sometimes we are in a place like that where you just drink because you cannot help yourself. And I believe this is where God comes and he wants to shake us. And something hectic happened to her where she said, I need help. I need help because she couldn't continue this way. God had to change her circumstances so much that she could break free and realize, if I'm going to continue doing this, I'm going to lose my children, I'm going to lose my husband, I'm going to lose everything that I have. God had to shake her so that he can make her free, because he's got this amazing thing that he wants to do through her life. So, and then he says, I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. And there's many taskmasters in this life. It could be the whiskey, it could be drugs, it could be pain pills, it could be where you work, it could be where you go to school, it could be your parents. There could be people that's bringing affliction over you, and God is hearing our cry when it comes to him. And he says, I know your suffering. And then he said, I have come down to deliver them. And I believe God is saying he's coming down to deliver us out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring us out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and with honey, the place where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites are living. And even if it looks impossible because all those people are living there, God is going before us because he wants them to go, because he wants to make place for us, for his people. And this is why I believe God is that God. He is that unbelievable God that when he speaks through lightning and through thunder. In January, it never rains in January. And suddenly, my pool is so full, and I'm just going, the blessing of God. God, you are so, so, so good. Exodus 3, verse 13 and 15. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? And Moses said, or God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you. And God also said to Moses, say to this to the people of Israel, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers. The God is Elohim. The word for God is El, but Elohim is the plural for God. So even in his name, he's saying to us that he's a God, a three God of one. God is three, but he's one. So he says, Elohim, the plural God is one. So Yahweh, the name that was not meant to be spoken, the God of your fathers, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. And God is wanting us to know his name, and his name to be remembered for all generations. And his name, he reveals who he is. This mighty creator God, he reveals himself through the names that he gives to us. So when he says the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, the Redeemer, the Creator, I am the God that redeems you, but I've created everything that is around you. This is who I am. I am the Lord God of hosts. All the stars, all the universe, everything, all the angels, all of that, I'm host over that. I'm the general of the generals. I'm the king of the kings. This is who God says he is. The Lord will provide. In all our needs, this God that makes his name known says, I will provide in all your needs. Don't be anxious for anything, but know that I am the God that brings peace. I am the God that provides for you. The Lord that heals, that's my name. He's the healing God. His name is healing. The Lord, my banner. His banner protects us where we go. His name says, I am your God. You are my children. That is what his name is saying to us. The Lord who is jealous. He is jealous for us because he loves us. He's jealous for all that we do. He's jealous because we are his children. That is the name of God. The God who is the Lord who he sanctifies. The Lord, because we spend time with him, he takes away the desire of sin. That's what his name says. This is who he is. The Lord of peace. He brings peace. The Lord is the judge. He judges sin. He judges unrighteousness. He will come through because you are righteous before him by faith. The God, the Lord Most High, the Lord my shepherd, he looks after us. The Lord our maker, he created us, he cares for us. The Lord is mighty. He's mighty. He's powerful. The Lord, our righteousness. The Lord is every present. This God, our Lord, is eternal. He's unchangeable. He's self-existing. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's present everywhere. Our God is sovereign. That is His name. His name will be known all over. Our God is holy. There's no sin in Him. He's righteous. He's just. He's good. He's faithful. He brings wrath and judgment to sin. But our God is love. He's love and He's merciful and He's gracious and He's patient. He's compassionate. He's kind. He's jealous for us. He loves us. This is the mighty God that loves us. But He's perfect. He's glorious. He's blessed. He's beautiful. As that last song was saying. So we can know our God keeps and protects us. He answers our prayers. He reconciles people and families and friends to Him and to one another. He creates, He rescues, He saves, He delivers, He heals, He blesses, He teaches, He does the impossible. Our God destroys works and strongholds of darkness. He sanctifies us. He justified us, just as if we've never sinned. He gives us power to overcome. He fills us with His majesty. He forgives sin. He makes us new. For our God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son. This is our God. And He wants His name to be known forever. Hallelujah. And this morning when I was spending time in the Word, and Psalm 81 verse 7 just stood out. And I just believe. In the stress You called and I delivered You. I answered You in the secret place of thunder. I tested You at the waters of Meribah. I thought, what happened at Meribah? There was quarreling and strife. People were moaning and groaning, and God tested them. So what I'm just realizing is, in my own life, God is massive. Why do we struggle when we go through tough times? Why do we complain? Why do we groan if our God is so great on this side? Why do we seek help from people and wanting to do this when our God is so massive? And I believe it's faith. And I believe it's trusting in God. And it's a time that we have to walk with Him. And that God takes us through Egypt. And He wants to take the slavery out of us. Because the slavery wants to trust in people. But God wants us to trust in Him. Because He wants to take us into the promised land. And this is a path that I believe God is walking with us. So even if you are in that place, it's just don't be discouraged. Just go, God is doing a work in all of us to bring us to that place where we can walk completely in faith with God, to trust Him in all our ways. So He allows these things to happen in us so that He can bring us to a place that we can walk in the fullness, because that's His heart. He wants us to walk in the fullness of what God had called us for. So I just want to pray for us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. Maybe if you can just stand with me then. Thank You, Jesus. Your Father, I just want to come before You, Lord. And Lord, knowing that there are many people, God, that's going through tough times, Lord. There's many people in this earth, Lord. And God, even seeing what You have done in America, Lord, with bringing a new president that no one expected, God. This whole thing with Brexit, Lord. Just it's time that we're in. It's times of changing. Lord, and where many of us are going through tough things, Lord, we are in a desert, Lord, we are struggling, we may be struggling in work or at school or just with family things, Lord God, or career-wise. There's many things that many people are struggling with, God, maybe even sickness, Lord. And God, I really believe the word that You've given us, out of nothing, You will make it possible, Lord God. That when we don't least expect it, You will do a mighty work in us because You have heard the cry, Lord, of our suffering. And therefore, I just want to come before You, Lord God, and I want to pray, Lord, that You will instill faith in all of us, God. That You will pour out Your Spirit, God, in such a way that we will walk by faith and not in fear. Not being anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make our request be known to You. and having the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, Lord. That we will not worry about what we will wear, what we will eat, Lord, but we will seek the kingdom of God, Lord. And that we will seek you and walk with you because you are a good God, Lord. And Father, I want to pray that you will remove all the veils, Lord, that keeps us from seeing you as a good God, Lord, to remove that. And I just want to declare, Lord, you are good in everything that you do, Lord. You make all things work out for the best because you are a good God, Lord. And you are love, Lord. Yes, you are holy, Lord, but you are the creator, God. But you say in your word, you want relationship with each one of us, God. And so therefore, we just pray, God, that you will come this morning and bring hope. And Father, I pray for the burning bush experiences, Lord, in people who are in a similar place where Moses is at the moment. We pray, God, that you will reveal yourself in miracle ways, Lord, miraculous ways to people that they will know that they know because you are good, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that you will take away all doubt, all unbelief in the name of Jesus. And God, that what remains is you and you alone, Lord. That where we walk, we will say, your grace is sufficient for me. You are good in everything that you do, Lord. But God, I want to pray for those dreams, Lord, that you will rekindle the dreams that you've given your people, Lord. And God, like your word says, like rekindle the gift that was given to you by the laying on of hands, Lord. I want to pray for those gifts to be rekindled, Lord. Because you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That we will know that you are the impossible. That even if my dream seems to me impossible, that we will write it down, Lord God. And we will put it out there and say, God, this is the dream you've given me. I'm not sure how this is going to happen, but you know, and I trust you, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you'll reveal and release those dreams to your people, Lord. And that you will break the bondage of slavery over your people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to dismiss this service. If there's anyone here that you feel that maybe you're in that place, that you just need some encouragement, you wanting to see that burning bush because you're in the desert and you haven't seen the rain yet, you haven't seen the thunder yet, and you just want to stand out and say, God, please, I want to invite you to come forward. I would like to pray with you. If there's a lot of people that are coming out, I just want to see if some of you can just come and help me pray with. For the rest of you, have a fantastic Sunday, have a fantastic week, and I trust that you will just look to God again, not only as your Savior, but also as the God of the impossible. He's the God that can do the impossible in Jesus' name. He can make rain come out of nothing when we don't expect it. Hallelujah. Thank you. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.